93.9 1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined in a moment by Luke Lipinski of Arizona Sports, co-host of The Wolf. And Luke, to talk all things Arizona. You know, I'm actually going to talk to him too, Chris. I will be taking a trip to Phoenix, Scottsdale in March.
Really?
During spring training. Mm-hmm.
Just going to try and figure out the spots and all that stuff, or...
You know, I have some buddies down there, but maybe I'll link up with Luke.
I mean, I hear the golfing's
like
incredible.
Oh, it is.
I mean, like, especially during March and stuff.
Yeah, we have two places booked already.
Really?
Yeah, two golf.
Months in
two
advance.
Golf. I have to buy, honestly, I don't have a travel golf bag. I've
been
avoiding
I didn't
it.
Even think about that.
But I think I'm finally going to have to get it.
Got to.
Yeah, and just get it.
You can borrow my grandpa's.
Please, thank you. Can I just rent one? I literally just need one for this trip, but I ultimately...
You probably could rent one, I would assume.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. You can borrow it.
Yeah. We'll talk. We are joined now by our guy, Luke Lipinski of Arizona Sports, co-host of The Wolf and Luke. Luke, thanks for joining us. We know you got your own show, so thank you for taking time out of your day to talk on our show from the brother-sister station.
Yeah, for sure. Good to be on.
So let's start here, Luke, with the Suns are 0-2 against the Kings, but, you know, the first time they played the Kings, there was no KD. The second time, there was no Bradley Beal. First time the Kings are getting a look at the Suns fully loaded. What has been kind of your takeaway from the Suns finally getting to see the big three?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a work in progress. They've played seven games together. They played an eighth, but Beal got hurt after 5 minutes. So seven games. They're 4-3 in those seven games, but they have won two in a row. They finally have played the last four in a row. So, you know, it's going to be a different look for the Kings tonight, obviously seeing the big three. But, you know, from the Suns' perspective, we're kind of waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen here from down here too, because – you're right, 0-2 against the Kings, and Sacramento was clearly the better team in both those games. But the thought, if you're a Suns fan, was like, all right, but let's see what happens when all three of the main guys are playing. Mm-hmm. Now they finally are, so there's no more excuses.
Luke, and yeah, I was looking at the Suns' record really since the start of December is pretty much around 500. I think it was 11-10, or 10-11. Is that mainly just due to the inconsistency of the lineups? I mean, I can't imagine it's easy for Frank Vogel, who's in his first year, to kind of figure out all this stuff on the fly. Has it mainly just been not knowing who you're going to get every single night?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part it is, you know, and that's what's been so maddening watching this team night in and night out. And I'm sure even playing for the team, certainly for Frank Vogel, like you just said, is there's a long stretch there where it's like, hey, is something wrong with this team? Or is it just a lack of continuity? Because it's not even just the big three. Like, a lot of the bench guys have been in and out of the lineup, and they're in and out of the rotation when some of these guys are and aren't playing. So, like I said, it's still a work in progress. Nothing is like set now, but you mentioned their record since the start of December, and that's true, and they struggled there for a while. They're 7-3 in their last 10, and there's actually been a little bit of a thought/hope, whatever, from down here that the game against the Lakers two games ago was maybe a turning point because they were pretty much fully healthy and they were able to beat the Lakers for the first time this year. And, you know, they've only played one game since then, but they're 2-0 since then.
Talking to Luke Lipinski of Arizona Sports, co-host of The Wolf and Luke. So, Luke, what is the vibe down there as far as trades and the trade deadline? You might be the only team that hasn't been associated with Pascal Siakam up here. We're just tired of hearing about it. What do you think the Suns do at the trade deadline?
Well, you know, if it makes you feel any better, in years past, the Suns have been associated with
Pascal. There you go. It's inescapable.
The thought, you know, Chris Haynes mentioned this on the TNT broadcast against the Lakers on Thursday, that the Suns are really more intent on trying to find an athletic wing than they are a point guard. And the point guard conversation has been going down here for a few years. It's certainly going now, but I do tend to believe what Chris is saying there, that just kind of the way the Suns have built this, that they maybe aren't going to prioritize even adding any help at point guard, because their thought seems to be, if we've got Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, we don't need a point guard. If we don't have all three of those guys, we're not going to win a title anyway. So I actually tend to believe what he's saying, even though it kind of flies in the face of conventional wisdom. Athletic wing would be great. I'm assuming pretty much every playoff team would like an athletic wing, so we'll see if they can pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take one over here in Sacramento, too. I think the thing, too, that's I mean, you kind of mentioned it with the Suns bench. They don't really seem to have many more trade pieces to have. And so do you see this team, honestly, I don't want to say skipping out on the deadline, but do you think that their focus might be more so on the buyout market? I mean, we've seen teams who tend to have these stars and not a lot of cap space available really try and attack the buyout market. You just haven't really heard many buyout candidates this year, but is that maybe the route the Suns are going to go?
I think it's certainly a possibility because, you know, with the trades, they don't really have picks left to trade, not anything of significance. And so most of the players they'd be able to trade are guys that they got to kind of come here on maybe a little bit of a better deal to play with Durant, Booker, and Beal. And a lot of those guys are only on one-year deals anyway. So, I mean, chances are if you're trading those guys, you're trading them to other playoff teams.
Right.
So you're not really getting what you want from them. So I think they'd like to trade, but you're right. The buyout market has to be, you know, it absolutely is going to be on the top of James Jones' priority list. And, you know, it's not like they need a ton that they can realistically get. I think their best chance of improving to the point where they're a title contender is just guys getting to play together and sort of, you know, developing some chemistry beyond just Beal, Booker, and Durant.
Talking to Luke Lipinski of Arizona Sports, co-host of The Wolf and Luke. And, Luke, we both have gripes going on here about the All-Star situation. No Sabonis in the front court for the Kings. No Devin Booker for the guards as far as the fan voting. What are your thoughts on the fan voting aspect? Obviously, it's only 50% and a lot of these guys will get in anyway. But can you explain why you think he might be in? We're not really sure why Sabonis isn't in. We know that, you know, in the playoffs last season, it didn't do great for the national narrative. But the whole small market thing's gone out the window because people seem to love Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. You know, the fan voting thing, I get why they do it. You know, I'm maybe coming at this from a different angle than a lot of people that cover the Suns. But a couple years ago, there was a lot of hand-wringing about why Devin Booker wasn't an all-star. And, like, I got it, but I also was looking around and saying, hey, some of these other guys that are getting guard spots in the Western Conference are pretty amazing. And ultimately, you know, I want Devin Booker healthy and ready to go for the playoffs anyway. But this year it did kind of hit me differently, especially when those first returns came out and he wasn't even in the top 10 among Western Conference guards, because then it's like, I thought this guy broke through. And even if he's not going to start, or even if he doesn't make the team because there's a ton of good guards again, but when I see fans don't even have him in the top 10 among Western Conference guards, and Kevin Durant at that point had 1.8 million votes, that's his teammate, and Devin Booker didn't even have 170,000, it was so glaring, it made me think that there's like, that people just don't like Devin Booker around the league.
Yeah. No, it's confusing, but, you know, just tell you, you know, I know you, I don't have to tell you, you're telling everybody out there, go out there and vote. Luke, before we let you go, let's cross over here into some football because, I mean, what a mess with how everything went down this weekend in the NFC East. And one name that I brought up, or we've been bringing up, is, look, the Cardinals, what, they have the fourth pick right now in the draft. Kyler Murray, do you think he's in a Cardinals jersey next season? What do you think they ultimately do out there, the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, with this QB situation?
Yeah, I think they stick with them. You know, my belief coming into the season was, for me, the only way I wouldn't have stuck with him is if I ended up with the first pick and Caleb Williams had another, you know, Heisman caliber season, even if he didn't win it. And it's not like I have a bunch of questions about Caleb Williams. I think he'll be good. You know, I don't know that he would want to play for certain teams, and that would be a concern. But the Cardinals can't get him anyway. So if you're moving on from Kyler Murray, I mean, I think he'd be a lot more tradable than people thought because there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. But the problem is if you move on from him, who's your quarterback? I don't want to take, you know, Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or whoever and basically start over there. Mm-hmm. And more importantly than what I think, Jonathan Gannon loves the guy. Kyler has really responded well to J.G. basically since day one. So I think their best move is to stick with him and hope Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at four.
Luke, I actually have one quick question on the Cardinals as well. I remember last year in that survey that the Athletic released that you know, polled tons of players and I think coaches as well. The Cardinals finished last in a lot of those categories. Was that a big talking point this year at all? And I mean, has there been any effort to try and fix those rankings at all? I mean, make the situation better? I mean, there was crazy reports of some of the situations that were happening there. Just kind of how much of a conversation has that been in Arizona?
It was a big conversation when it first came out, and if I remember right, that survey is supposed to come out every other year now going forward. So it will be interesting to see where they rank in some of the areas that we don't necessarily see as media members, you know, whether it's the cafeteria or the training room or whatever. But when that came out, it was in the middle of just such a mess in so many different ways for the Cardinals that, you know, it's not that it wasn't talked about. Trust me, it was quite a bit. But the focus at the time was like, can they rebuild this culture that has just become an absolute disaster at that point? You know, what are they doing as far as with Kyler Murray? Does he want to be here? There were so many other questions. Those ones that were more outward questions, like are they willing to move on from Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury and make some good hires, those have at least been answered in a pretty good way. And Kyler's responded pretty well to it as well. So I can't speak to all the specific elements of the survey, but I can tell you the optimism around this team it felt to me like it was at an all-time low last year at this time, and it's at least going in the right direction now.
Luke Lipinski of Arizona Sports, The Wolf and Luke. You can catch him on our brother sister station. Luke, thank you so much for taking the time. We will do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, Mike Brown has been fined. Did he deserve the amount? We'll discuss. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thank you to Luke Lipinski of Arizona Sports, co-host of The Wolf and Luke. You can catch them on Arizona Sports. Thank you to Luke for spending some time with their brother station out here in Sacramento. He thinks that the Cardinals are going to keep Kyler Murray, so they need help. I don't know really the ins and outs of it. I just know they stunk.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you trade. You could probably still get Drake May at four. They're probably going to trade that pick. If you're keeping Kyler Murray, you're trading that pick, I would assume.
It feels a little backwards, doesn't it, to like build from the quarterback out? Like, wouldn't you? If I'm building a franchise, I would much rather get a solid offensive line, get a good receiver, and then get a quarterback. Like, to me, you're working backwards if you're getting the quarterback. And then, I mean, look at Bryce Young this year. Like, was this year productive for Bryce Young? I mean, he did get snaps. He got thrown in some really bad situations. But is he going to be better for that next year?
Yeah, it depends on how far away you think that the team is. And I don't think that the Cardinals think they're as far away as the Panthers. And Bryce is.
I don't see how the Cardinals turn this thing around.
They have to feel that way because Bryce is starting from scratch.
Right.
So you can grow together. You're right. Kyler is a bit established and he's on a big contract already.
Yeah.
So you got to get guys, and depending on what you need, right? How long does it take an edge rusher to get acclimated?
Right.
How long does it take? And I think maybe that's part of it. Hey, a lot of these guys can turn it around pretty quickly here.
Sure.
So maybe that's what it is, but very interesting. I thought
makes
for
it a
sure.
lot more fun if Kyler's available, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, you
it
can
does.
Throw him on so many teams and still have a lot of questions.
Yeah, but maybe that's the kind of the perfect spot for both of them.
Yeah,
I know Kyler's
honestly.
From Texas, like we discussed, but I don't know if he could handle those bright lights and maybe it's just a perfect spot for him. Yeah. All right, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Dale, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Dale? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got?
Hey, Styles and Watkins. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Of course.
I've got Kings talk.
Love it.
All right. So I talked to you guys the other day, actually, about 3 days ago before football happened over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I spoke about, you know, trading for Siakam or trading for anybody. And you know, I've reorganize my thoughts. I don't understand what the hesitation is in putting Malik Monk into the starting five, right? Because if you put him in starting five, now what you have to do is trade for another spark plug off the bench, which will be way cheaper than trading for a star because Malik Monk is already a star.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, Dale. It's the conversation that we've had time and time again. Is it easier if you feel like Malik, and really it's, do you think Malik is that good,
yeah,
right? Malik is an elite spark plug off the bench. Like we said, I believe he is a championship level spark plug off the bench.
Yeah.
Is Malik a championship level two guard? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I also kind of disagree with the thought that it's easier to replace Malik just because he's a bench guy. I think what Malik does coming off the bench is extraordinary, and it's hard to find an extraordinary bench player. Like, to me, you know, back in the day, people weren't saying throw Bobby Jackson in the starting lineup instead which is kind of what we're saying now. Right now, people are saying throw Bobby Jackson in the starting lineup instead of go out there and find a Doug Christie. To me, I don't want to say it's easier to go find a Doug Christie, but to me, if you already have this guy excelling in his role, I don't want to take him out of that role. It sounds like we found the perfect spot for him. I think what the real problem is there's a hole at the two. To me, it's a lot easier, or it's at least the same challenge to try and figure out that spot than to figure out an elite bench player. I mean, there's only there's Tim Hardaway, you see Bogdanovich, you see Jordan Clarkson, you see Emmanuel Quickley, who's no longer coming off the bench. There's not many guys who do what Malik does every single night. I don't know if you necessarily want to lose that advantage of having a guy come off the bench and excel. But, you know, we've also had this Malik Monk conversation 100 times.
Yeah, the way I would compare it, right? And you know the guys out here, Lou Williams, who we know he's on our bad side because he was talking about Sacramento.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. And the Jamal Crawford situation as well. And those guys, I'm sure the same conversations happen, but they just wanted to be in that role. That, I'm not saying Malik Monk can't be a starter, but I do think maybe the math is being done a little bit too easily. And just assuming that Malik is going to be as good of a player as he is in a starting role, I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
And if you want to argue, hey, Alan, we don't know, so let's at least see.
Sure.
I'm not against that, no, right? Yeah. But I think that what would end up happening is, again, taking it back to baseball, as I always do, it's that closer role. And honestly, it's what the Giants are about to try with Jordan Hicks. It's that closer role who's been balling out as a closer, so now let's put him in the rotation, and the second time around the order, he doesn't got it like that because he's just better in spurts. So that's what I fear with Malik Monk.
Totally.
It's not apples to apples to just say, look at what Malik does when he comes in the game. Let's just insert that into the starting lineup and everything is gravy.
Yeah.
I just don't think it would be that simple. If the argument is, let's just see, and if it stinks, it stinks, okay, that's fine. And then somebody would argue, well, you could throw off their rhythm or whatever it is.
Yep.
I just don't think we'll ever know. And not to call it a moot point because anything can change, but out of all the things that Coach Mike Brown has moved around on this team, from Keon Ellis to Colby Jones to Chris Duarte, the one thing that man won't change is Malik Monk in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as if we can have these conversations, but until we, Chris or myself or anybody listening to a pregame or postgame, until it sounds like he's even moving in that direction, it is kind of a moot point because he ain't going to do it.
It's not happening.
We got to get that cut, that Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Stop asking me because I'm not going to do it. It ain't going to happen until it even feels like he's willing to entertain it. That's where I'm at with this. But I do think if we were to discuss why won't he entertain it, I would say it's because of what I just laid out. Number one, you need somebody on that bench because the game is so long. And if Herter starts going again, then we're not even having this conversation.
Yep. Yep.
But number two, you can't just assume that Malik is going to do what he does in spurts. And I know he plays a ton of minutes, but in spurts, you can't just say, that production is just going to go into the starting lineup, but more.
Yeah.
That just does – it does. I just don't think it happens.
I got like nothing else to add, my friend. You laid it out perfectly.
I'd love to see him in bars.
It. Yeah.
I just want to see it. You know, I
No, you've been the one asking this question most, which is probably why you have such a great answer for it.
Because I've been here. Yeah. No. Now, I do want him to win Sixth Man of the Year for personal reasons. Yeah. But – as a team, I think that this team, if Herter can get cooking again, ultimately this team is best suited. If he's not going to get cooking and you need to look for answers somewhere else, I've also said you can have Trey Lyles in it, but some people want to play the best lineup, and it's taken conversations with Chris and as well to say, hey, if your closing lineup is this, why wouldn't that just be your starting lineup? It's just different. Yeah. It's just different, and you have to try to – everybody doesn't work the same way.
Yep.
Kevin Herter is a rhythm guy. He's got to get into rhythm. Maybe he never gets into rhythm. Well, then sit him on the bench, right? But
there's nothing else he can do.
And the same thing with Harrison Barnes. Now, the Harrison Barnes thing is different because at least you know Herter can get hot.
Yep.
Harrison Barnes, the dull Swiss Army knife, we don't know what he's there to do. We just don't. Harrison, please, we're trying to figure out what you are here to do. Yeah. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Mike Brown – and his $50,000? Are you serious? I'm not happy about this, okay? It's too much. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
$50,000. Goodness gracious. Coach Mike Brown for a laptop. Really? Really? Before we get into how egregious that is, in my opinion, we got to take it back and we got to hear from Coach Mike Brown. And this is a clip. I know a lot of you have probably seen the meme already. So we have about a little under a minute clip because he went for a while. So we just want to give you a kind of listen to what he was trying to show. And there were no cursing.
No. Actually,
okay. Really didn't say anything negative about the refs. He just said, I'm trying to figure out the rules. So here is Coach Mike Brown.
I know David Guthrie and Brian Forte, great guys, great officials. I don't really know Inte well, but he seems like a good guy, and they're human and they all make mistakes. And I just want to – let me see that, man. I just want to show you guys why I got kicked out of the game right here. This is in the first third quarter with 1:28 left to go in the third. And right here, you can watch. Go back and watch. Fox barely puts his hand on Dame's hip, okay? Incidental contact. He didn't push him or anything. He barely puts his hand on there. And they give him 3 free throws. Now, at half, we were down, I think, 19-5 in the free throws. 19-5. And I know that happens sometimes, but that's very frustrating when at the end of the half, from what I get told all the time, Malik drives, Lopez comes over and goes vertical with a forearm down here. Now, from what the NBA tells me, the rule is if you go vertical, you got to have 2 hands up.
Mm. So he goes on.
He
breaks it down. And look,
sure does.
At first I thought that, oh, wow, this is going to be more than Darko. But, and that is the head coach of the Raptors who had a lot to say last week. But the more I thought about it, I was actually a bit surprised. I guess my question to Adam Silver would be, what is he getting fined for?
Mm-hmm.
Because
props.
For props?
I have no idea.
Right?
No,
because Darko literally sat there and said, if y'all need the Lakers to win because the NBA needs
Los
Angeles and LeBron to win, then we won't show up.
Crazy.
That was 25K. He said that, bad job. 25K, if basically alluding to, okay, the Lakers needed to win tonight and we happen to be on the other side. 25K. Coach Mike Brown literally is just looking for answers, right? He doesn't say, oh, you needed Giannis and the Bucks to win because they're, you know, Giannis is one of the faces of the NBA. Doesn't say any of that. Nope. Just ask questions about what's going on, brings out a laptop to explain why he got kicked out, and he got fined $25,000 more than Darko. I think that's pretty crazy.
It's definitely pretty crazy, and I don't
well,
know.
Well, actually, hold on. Yeah, hold on. Ahead. Sorry. He's getting fined for pursuing, it says.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, he's getting fined for.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Because Brendan asked me about that yesterday when they did the show, if I thought that, you know, him charging the referee would add to his, I mean, Brendan was wondering if there was potential suspension possibility. Mm-hmm. I didn't think so, but I mean, this is definitely the counter to that, is they're just going to fine him double mm-hmm. the fine, because, you know, I didn't think what he did was that egregious, but I guess you can't run on the floor. And I think I did see Pat Connaughton tripped over Mike Brown.
Yeah,
as
it was pretty
yelling
bad.
At the official,
it was pretty bad, man. I mean,
what did you? I didn't feel like Mike Brown. I don't want to say wasn't serious, but I think it to me felt like a performance. His ejection, not necessarily saying in a bad way, but I think it was very Mike Brown. Probably said to himself, I'm going to get ejected.
Kings are 3-0 before that when he was ejected.
Maybe, but the only reason I would push back, and this is from
Malik
our
was
own
laughing
Brendan
also.
Nunes.
Him laughing as he's pulling
his players. Toronto head coach Darko Rajakovic was fined $25,000 for his recent post-game press conferences. So I'm assuming, this is Brendan, Mike Brown is getting fined $25,000 for aggressively pursuing a game official, then another $25,000 for publicly criticizing the officiation. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
That makes a lot more sense to me, because I'll tell you what, it was aggressive. And sure I was. Think that it might have been a performance at some point, but I think he found himself in a bad spot when he got on the floor too quick and ran into a player.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's not great. Yeah. I mean, at that point, you could say safety concerns. Yeah. Like,
what if he turned his ankle?
Yeah, I don't even know what if they he, do. Like, hits his knee or whatever.
I don't know what the league would have even done. That's not good.
Yeah. No,
so I don't think that was a performance, but I think once he got lost in the sauce, he was, I'm out of here.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, to me, it felt strategic. Even, I mean, kind of told on himself a little bit there. Like, he said, this is Dame, third quarter. Mm-hmm. End of third quarter, this happens. He doesn't end up getting ejected until, I think, the 9-minute mark in the fourth quarter. To me, it was, again, very strategic in the sense of, you know, at that point, fourth quarter, 9 minutes to go, how much coaching are you really doing? How much, you know, the last 5 minutes are pretty much decided by the players anyway.
Blitz Dane.
Kind of felt like a bit, you know, he's like, I've taken this game as far as I can. We're starting to lose the grips a little bit on this game. Let me get kicked out. Maybe it'll spark some energy. I trust Jordy will do anything.
If it happens one more time, I'm losing it. That's what he's probably said to himself.
For sure.
If they do this to Foxy one more time and it doesn't get called, I'm losing it. Yeah. And then I think
it was the campaign little screen.
Yeah,
little
chicken
wing. Grabbed his hand there. You know, I get it. It was, you know, it's whatever. Coaches do it all the time. It's super unfortunate for Mike that he lost so much money doing it.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if I were Mike, I'm like, this is y'all's fault. This is, I mean, you know, for sure he's blaming it on the officials. But again, I think this is more just Mike Brown. Again, too, what has Mike Brown been talking about for the past month? Internal leadership. What's the best way to force internal leadership? I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Y'all fix this. Y'all figure this out. It's on y'all. I'm going to go watch from the locker room, and I'm going to need you guys to talk amongst yourselves and figure it out. I think it was all the coaching move to me. It was all planned and all thought out, premeditated from Mike Brown.
So, yeah, it was a combo.
And he had clips ready. He had two clips back-to-back ready.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was a combo number 5, or should I say number 50,000. And here is the NBA communications note. Sacramento Kings head coach Mike Brown has been fined $50,000 for aggressively pursuing a game official during live play and for publicly criticizing the officiating. It was announced today by Joe Dumars, Vice President, Head of Basketball Operations. Brown's actions took place during and after the Kings' overtime loss to the Milwaukee Bucks January 14th.
It sucks, man.
Half and half.
$50,000? Like, he's just, how does that work? Does he like just he has to pay that by Friday?
But I am really curious now.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I am really curious now if he didn't aggressively If he just got a normal kick out.
Yeah.
I just want to know how much they would have charged him for bringing out the laptop.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Probably 25. I mean, I think it's safe to say 25 because, like you said, I mean, he wasn't insinuating match fixing like Darko was.
But Darko got 25.
He did. Well, that's why I feel like he probably would have still gotten that 25. Mm-hmm. And then it's probably two separate violations. And I don't know. I mean, it's he definitely got his money's worth out of it. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And it was great to get.
I was scared.
It's great to get the meme too. I mean, that meme's gonna live on for a while. That's gonna be like the Patrick Beverly showing the referee the camera. Same energy there. So you know, at least he got his money for it.
I'm already cooking up a Photoshop. The Kings take down the Warriors. I got some.
With Mike Brown, like
well,
that?
I just think it's a Photoshop
it's
that's going to live forever.
It's an easy one. Let me tell you, I cooked up a couple of them, and they hit easy. Okay, mm-hmm. it was good. You know, me convincing my girlfriend at 10:30 to get us Taco Bell. Mike Brown pointing at the screen, doing all of his things. It's easy material. So.
It really is. All right, before we get to crosstalk, it's time.
Ooh.
For the dog segment. And the dog segment
we do that. I forgot
is
about that.
Sponsored by Could Be You.
Could Be You.
Give us a call, 916-339-1140, and Nate will take care of you. You know, they really need to get back on the winning side of things.
Yeah.
Two losses over the weekend.
Back to back.
I'm waiting for a huge De'Aaron Fox game. Mm. I feel like we haven't had a huge, and he played well late in Milwaukee, but I mean a banger. I feel like we haven't seen a banger De'Aaron Fox game in a minute. I'm tempted, another Kentucky matchup.
It's a good time.
Well, there's just 8,000 Kentucky guards in the NBA.
That's true.
I'm going to.
They've got no point guard over in Phoenix.
No point guard. They're trying to do it. I think one of the athlete podcasts were saying that's the problem with the Suns. Stop making. Maybe they're. You know who's available? Kyle Lowry to the Suns.
Someone in the chat said that.
That's not
too.
A crazy pickup for the Suns, I feel like.
No, any problem with the Suns, though, is going to be, again, what are they shipping off? Like, they shipped off everything at this point. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're Miami, what, I don't know. Do you want Chimezie Metu back? I'm good. I just don't know how. I don't know how Phoenix gets better. It just feels like, I mean, they're pretty hamstrung, unless they're going to move on from Grayson Allen, who's honestly been pretty good for them.
Who's behind Nurkic?
They play Chimezie Metu. They've played Bol Bol like a handful of games.
Why
do
you just
really.
Say Eubanks too, I think?
Eubanks definitely gets in there. I mean, they really don't have a good answer there.
I'm going De'Aaron Fox tonight.
I want to go Sabonis. I really am not a fan of Nurkic at all. I think he's, pretty soft.
We know.
Charmin soft.
We know.
Charmin could be the sponsor.
Could. It really could be. It's tough. I want to go Keegan, but we just don't know if he's playing or not. I think he's still a game time decision. You know what? Let's keep the Herter heater going. Mm-hmm. Let's say Kevin Herter, give me 20 plus again. Give me 3+3s for Kevin Herter. 20+3+3.
You know, when he gets hot, he gets hot.
He gets hot.
I think that's
in
a
the
great,
valley. Come on.
Yeah, I think that's a great. In the valley. Nate, who you got? Who's your dog?
Ooh, in the swampy valley. Who's my dog? That's kind of what I was asking about the backup behind Nurkic. But I think I'm just going to go with Keegan. I think Keegan, Murray. You know, you think Durant's going to be on him? Is that how that works?
Probably.
If he's in a
or
play.
Book. Yeah, well, Keegan, we're still figuring out. It if would he's going to play tonight.
Be so sick to see Keegan Booker. Torch one of those guys.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to will into existence here. I, you know, a lot of people made fun of me for taking the Packers over the Cowboys, which I did. And, you know, and that's fine. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to will Keegan Murray into being a dog.
There you go. We got Keegan Murray. You had Sabonis, right?
No, I ended up going with Kevin Herter.
Kevin Herter, the Herter heater. I'm seeing on the Sac chat, they're taking Sabonis. Sabonis is going to eat tonight. He always feasts against Nurkic. And I have De'Aaron Fox, Beamer Beams or Beamly with Malik Monk. We will be back with Crosstalk. The Drive, guys. 1,000 Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Kyle Shanahan said that he started preparing for the Packers in the second quarter. Just a little bit of shade there from Kyle Shanahan to the Dallas Cowboys. And why not get in where you fit in if you are the Niners or Niners fans? You should be feeling really good about it. Whitey Gleason joins us of the Drive Guys. Whitey, I mean, I don't know if you are a Super Bowl or bust type of fan or type of sports person. I feel like you're not, but at the same time, maybe get to Super Bowl or bust, right? Maybe you get there and you got to face Lamar or Josh Allen.
You better win the Super Bowl.
Who knows?
Yeah, at this point, you better win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you're with us.
Yeah.
You're with us. Okay, this is what I love to see.
Well, I love to hear. Because at some point, you know, you can only say, well, that window's still open for so long.
Yeah.
So the whole key to this game, though, is Green Bay is very poor at defending other teams' backs in the passing game. So this is like the worst possible matchup for them, right?
Yeah.
They're really poor at that. But if they can keep the ball, you know, if they can keep the 49ers offense off the field, they got a chance to make it close.
Yeah, I thought that what Jordan Love did was impressive. But again, I don't know what that's going to look like against the Niners defense. And then on the other side of things, me and Chris were talking. You know, one thing you never hear about with the Cowboys is how they just decided, going back to your note about the Packers secondary, the Cowboys just never decided to buy into a number two receiver. I just thought that was always weird. They went with, is it Brandon Cooks or Michael Gallup? I never really understood. You have such a good receiver in CeeDee Lamb, and the Packers just said, yeah, we're just not going to let you throw to that guy. And it was over.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Tony Pollard truly let the Cowboys down this year, too, again. Like, the amount of hype that they had for Tony Pollard and the guy he was supposed to be, I mean, you weren't even supposed to realize Zeke was gone. And to me, I mean, they couldn't get it done in the red zone. Not that that was the problem the other day, but, I mean, if they have some sort of running game to lean on, how much does that help Dak and just get that offense into a rhythm? Because that's the other thing is, you looked at that game at the end of the first, wasn't it 10-0 already? It's like, They put themselves behind the eight ball so quickly, and then Dak was the only one who was able to pull them out, and you saw that he just put them further and further in the hole. So, you know, it's definitely a combination of a lot of things, but I think, I mean, it's really shocking to me that they lose that game. Again, it's one thing to finally get to the test of the Niners and then not be able to meet that moment, but to not even get to that game is just it's insane, and I have no idea how they can run Mike McCarthy and Dak out there again next year. That's
Dan
insane.
Quinn's a loser too. Just sure think is. If you're another team thinking, man, that guy'd be a great head coach for us. Ooh, maybe not.
Yeah, you pack that on with the the Super Bowl as well, and it's like I would like to interview more candidates.
And maybe it's a situation where there's a group with players. We've gone through the players that we grew up seeing, whether it's Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, a lot of these guys. Hey,
Johnny Unitas and Mike.
Johnny Unitas, right? And these guys
Marco
are
Nagurski,
Drew Brees, all these guys. Okay, Grandma. We finally have moved on from them, and maybe we're at that point with certain coaches too. Like, is Mike McCarthy gonna get? I'm still waiting for the post that says he's done. But is Mike McCarthy gonna get another chance, or are we done with Mike McCarthy now?
I mean, you know, he'll probably be a coordinator somewhere, if not on Fox. But, I mean, I would assume probably not as a head coach. It'd be tough for him to – I mean, though he's had success. I mean, he's got a Super Bowl in Green Bay. You could attribute that to Aaron Rodgers if you want. But he even has had regular season success with the Cowboys. It's just – I wouldn't trust him. I mean, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl – it kind of depends on what the situation is, too. Like, he might make sense in a – not specifically for this team. They've got a coach, but like in a Cardinals or Panthers situation where you're trying to get them out the mud into regularity. But, you know, if you're trying to take a good roster and turn it into a Super Bowl, I don't know if McCarthy's your guy.
I can think of two teams right now that I know would interview him if he got fired today.
Who?
The Arlington Renegades and the Seattle Sea Dragons.
Yeah,
there
USFL,
you go.
USFL, man.
Here
summer
you go.
Football. Can't wait.
Speaking of the Falcons, this is from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick is interested in coaching, quote, talented yet underachieving teams for his next landing spot. So do with that what you will. A lot of people are mentioning the Falcons.
Yeah, I think he completed an interview with Atlanta.
So you have the Falcons.
They got no quarterback.
And
no.
Now it's just a list of teams. Somebody says the Cowboys. Somebody says the Eagles.
Right.
Somebody says the Chargers. So Bill Belichick is going to have his pick of the litter.
I say Cowboys.
I think Cowboys, he's going to. I have a buddy, and he listens to this show. Shout out my guy, Evan. He's probably listening now. And he told me.
Evan Giddings?
But shout out Evan Giddings is what we talk all the time. And I'm driving. I'm picking up my Fire Wings to watch the game. Shout out Fire Wings. And, of course, got my lemon pepper as well. And we're talking on the phone, and he says, I'm telling you, Alan, we should have a shout-out tracker. How many shout-outs per show? So he goes, I'm telling you, Alan, LaFleur from that Shanahan tree, I'm telling you, Alan, the Packers won't just beat the Cowboys. They're going to smack the Cowboys, and Bill Belichick will be the next coach of the Cowboys. He's one for one so far. We'll see if he's 2 for 2. But I think that, you know, it's insanity, and Jerry Jones might be looking at the mirror and say, fine, I'll take a back seat. We'll bring in a kind of a stronger-minded individual, and let's see if we can get this done.
Yeah. By the way, I guess we got the answer to the question we were throwing around Friday. Why would NBC do this thing with Peacock? Because the numbers were staggering.
Yeah.
So now they have something else they can sell, that package.
I did
have
not watch Peacock,
and I couldn't watch. At first, I couldn't get it. I was going nuts.
What do you mean?
I couldn't. It wouldn't come on. It just kept, you know, buffering.
Oh, it was buffering?
Yeah, like, come on. Finally, I ended up, I think third quarter I got it on.
Really?
I'm trying to watch. Well, I was doing some other things, too.
Right. Yeah, right.
It was definitely a little glitchy.
It
was definitely a little glitchy a couple different times, so... Yeah.
Shout out all my streamers out there.
Well, you know. I'm not.
Did me well.
Yeah.
Shout
out streamers. Couple more minutes left here, Whitey, as we
2 minute warning.
Switch on over to the Kings. Chris and I had a back and forth about, hey, do you leave Brooke Lopez wide open and just get the ball out of Dame's hands? What were your thoughts on that last play in Milwaukee?
They weren't guarding either one of those two, were they? I mean, Brooke Lopez got the ball.
Brooke was at half court.
Sure. Or Malik Beasley. Just get the ball out of Dame's hands.
Yeah. Well, I think Coach even said that. If I remember correctly, in Anthony Slater's story, he said before he went on about the officials, Mike Brown said, we needed to blitz there. We needed to blitz Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, because, but that's hard to do when a guy's a running start. But still, yeah, they didn't defend that very well. And still, the guy made a.
What? I have a theory I want to throw by you. I've been workshopping it, so it's not perfect. But what do you think about – I was trying to – because it's not just Mike Brown. Like you said, Darko the other day had this long rant about officiating, and I don't think Darko necessarily falls into this category. But what do you think about the fact that this theory that I have, that the real problem with NBA players, veterans, and coaches and versus officials right now is this – you don't have the old guard of officials who, you know, there's the Joey Crawfords, the Dick Bavettas of the world who were in the NBA for 20, 30 years at a time. And, you know, almost they're from the Stern era where it's not necessary. You know, officials almost are their own character in the story as well, where now you're seeing a lot of younger officials, a lot of first through fifth year guys who have come up in this new school of officiating. I mean, think about the differences of, you know, just how school in general was for you versus me. I can't imagine how different the teaching is from Dick Bavetta's time as learning how to be an official to these new officials now. And there's just a disconnect between how the game has been called through. I mean, think about Mike Brown and how many organizations and teams and how many years he spent in the NBA watching the game officiated this one way. And now it feels like there's a whole new school of thinking, possibly because there quite literally is a new school of thinking.
Yeah, that could be contributing to the lack of consistency. Real quick, I was talking yesterday to a friend of mine. His name is Bill Simmons. It's not the Bill Simmons that, you know.
Okay.
Bill Simmons.
Sure.
He used to officiate in the NBA briefly, and I haven't talked to him while. He says, I don't even watch the games anymore.
Really?
And he's lost interest for a number of reasons, I think. But he said, I watch a game now. And again, this is a former official. He said, someone go to the basket, get destroyed, there's no call.
Nothing.
At the other end, someone goes to the basket, someone grazes them, and then they're going to the foul line.
Right.
He says, I don't understand what's going on. That's a former official. So I do think there's, for whatever reason, maybe that's part of the reason, but it's just really inconsistent now. And if you're a coach going, come on, what's going on?
Yeah. And you can't say anything. I was, and I know half of it was the aggressiveness of on the court, but as far as what he said, I was trying to discuss with Chris, or wanted to discuss with Chris, what percentage of that fine was from actually just breaking it down? Because he's just asking questions. And if you can't ask questions, then
we don't have a show.
We don't have a show.
You should have said, I'm just asking. Yeah, I'm just asking.
But Mike went Allen Styles there. I'm just asking a question. All right. Thank you to Nate. Thank you to all of our guests, Styles and Watkins. We will talk to you tomorrow. Drive, guys, up next with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.